Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and how are you doing today?
Good, yourself?
Oh, we're doing just fine on this end, so I see you're ready for us. You only have one for us this afternoon, am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay, well, we'll be ready whenever we are, whenever you are.
All right, here you go. We'll open your name.
Wait a minute, can I get you to speak up just a little louder, sir? I can't, we can't quite hear you. If you can put the mic, I mean the phone closer and just speak up, we certainly appreciate it.
Yes, sir, let me see if I can turn the volume up.
Okay, thank you.
Is that a little better?
It's a little better, yes, sir. It's not perfect, but it's a little better.
Thank you. My name is Daryl Gander, and my number is 099565.
Thank you, Mr. Gainer. Your appearance for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, inasmuch as you have provided an application to the board today for your rescission hearing, and according to, as you can see, there are three board panel members participating in your hearing today, and they are, to my right, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, and to my left, the Honorable Mr. Neil. And my name is C.T. Wright. I will be serving as your panel chair. Now, it's my understanding that the reason that you are coming before the board today, you wish for the board to consider your request. I believe if our information is correct, that you were granted home arrest by this board, I believe on July 25, 2017. And apparently before you found residence, there's something that came up, and I'm just going to read the violation as stated. This is not a revocation hearing, but this is a rescission hearing. But I do want to read it, put it on the record.
Yes, sir.
And it reads that you're in violation of Arizona you're in violation of home arrest, authorization, and condition of supervision, number 6, as demonstrated by your engagement in assaultive activities, violence or threats, violence of any sort, or on or about September 26, 2017, at ASPC Winslow. Okay, now that's the information that we have. Now, it's what I understand this afternoon, that this board is being asked to, you are asking this board, rather, to continue you on home arrest, although we have information to the contrary in terms of your having had some apparent physical engagement down in Winslow. So do you want to tell us first of all what happened and why you didn't get, well, first of all, the board, as I've stated, voted to grant you home arrest all the way back in July 25 of this year, and why didn't you get home arrest at that time? So what happened?
First of all, sir, thank you for receiving me, and I'm very thankful that this board had granted me home arrest, because I had currently been in prison on a parole violation for drinking. I've been here a year now, and this board granted me home arrest on July 25th, 2017. What happened was, I waited almost 3 months, and my papers that I submitted to the board, they had been, by the CO3, she sent me the wrong home arrest papers, and so they had to be sent back. There was a few mistakes made, but what happened was, as far as the team is concerned, is that I was on the yard, and there was on a near riot between the whites, the Mexicans, and the blacks. And everybody had grouped up on the yard. And the CO3 told everybody to go home. They told everybody to leave. And I had already been granted parole by this board. I went back to the building. Everybody else stayed out for about 45 minutes because there was a theft of some inmate store, and they were trying to figure it out, it was an array. I went back to my building, son, and I saw that the tactical team that showed up to the site for riot gear guns, because nobody would lock down. And I didn't want to mess off my parole, I'd already been given home arrest by this board. I went back to my area, and everybody else had locked down maybe an hour or two later. And we came off of a lockdown, I was coming out of the bathroom, and I was hit from behind. I went down. I never assaulted anybody. I went down, and I was carried back to my area by some inmates. Because I knew something like this could happen, because there was a lot of violence on the yard, there was a lot of inmate assaults, I seen a lot of people get hurt. My thing was, I was not going to make it out of there alive, and I'm being totally honest. So I was called to the yard office after that, and the next thing I know, that I had a staff standing on me with a video camera because I had a seizure. After that, they took me to medical for observation. I stayed there for a little while. They put me in observation cell after that. I stayed there all night. The next morning, I had another seizure. I'd never had seizures before. After that, they took me to the hospital in Winslow. The doctor wanted me to go to see a neurologist at Flagstaff Medical Center, and I spent 3 days there. I sent the information to you guys, and I put it in my packet, my diagnosis. After that, I stayed there for 3 days. But before that, I came back to the yard office, and I asked the CO3, could you please get me a halfway house, or please get me off this yard, because somebody was going to get hurt. I was talking about myself, and they said no. And that's when I ended up getting assaulted. I never assaulted anyone, and I never threatened anyone directly or indirectly. I was the one that got hurt, sir.
So how did you get assaulted, sir? Who assaulted you, sir?
I was assaulted by behind from some inmates because I locked down. I didn't want to mess up my parole that you guys had given. You guys had already granted me on July. This happened in September. And I had already been still in prison 2.5, almost 3 months. And I wasn't at home, or wasn't even, no one had did anything on my paperwork. And so I was assaulted from behind. I didn't assault anyone, I didn't threaten anyone. And so when I went to the CO3's office after we got out of lockdown, I asked them again, please, can you go ahead and get me out of here, or just go ahead and get me a halfway house? I was animated. They said, we're busy. I left. No one put me on the door. After that, I went to the yard office after I had gotten assaulted, after we got off lockdown, and that's when I had a seizure. That's when I went to the hospital for 3 days, sir, and next thing I know, I had a series of seizures, and they had to take me to the hospital. And that's why it's urgent. I want to get out of here because I need medical care. I didn't assault anyone. I would never, ever threaten an officer, assault anyone, especially after this board had already given me home arrest.
Okay, now I understand, but tell me again, sir, because I think I kind of got lost there. Maybe I was reading some of your paperwork here. Now, you were granted by this board, as you have admitted yourself and paperwork shows, on July the 25th, the board granted you home arrest. Why no home arrest had been found for you before September, sir?
I wasn't even found a place to go to home arrest until I was transported to a medical yard, sir. They just, if I'm being honest, and I don't want to say anything negative about anybody, that's not why I'm here, but they just dropped the ball. I'm old and cold, and a lot of CO3s just didn't know how to handle that cold. So I just sat there in prison.
But we're not handling, but there must be some reason why didn't someone. Now what happened? Did you let me put it this way. Did you request, did you make a specific request for any place for your home arrest, sir?
I
for you to resign?
Yes, sir. I included the acceptance to the home arrest to the Halfway House in my letter to the board. It was a place in Phoenix. And I got that in October. I didn't get a Halfway House until October. 3 months have been by and nothing had happened. Meanwhile, I was in fear that something was going to happen to me or to someone else because it had taken so long.
So you got admitted to what Halfway House did you get admitted to in Phoenix in October, sir? What's the name of that Halfway House?
The name of the Halfway House is Newborn Assistance. They accepted me on 10-2 in October. Newborn Assistance. They already have my deposit and everything. I've been accepted by them. You can call them right now and they'll say they accepted me. They already have my deposit. And that's why I didn't get there because there was a huge delay. Nothing was done by the CO3s until a month after this board had granted me home arrest. Nothing was done until a month afterwards. And at that time, sure, I was frustrated, but I also know what the rescission is, what rescission is. If you get in any trouble, your parole can be taken from you. I know this for a fact. This is why I wanted to come there and get out of there. So I ended up getting hurt. I ended up going to the hospital. I didn't threaten anybody. I didn't do anything wrong, sir, at all. I've always been completely honest with this board. Every time I've been in front of this board, I tried to do my best.
So why do you think the CO3 wrote you up? Why did they give you this ticket, sir, saying that you had been... that you were threatening them. Why would they do that, sir?
Well, because I got assaulted. I didn't tell them that I got assaulted. I didn't tell them because there were 4 or 5 inmates in front of me at the time. I couldn't tell them I got assaulted. So I went to their office and asked them, could you get me in the Halfway House or could you get me off the yard? They had dropped the ball on my release. And I think that's why the dad woke me up, if I'm being honest with you, and I am. And so, after I asked them to get the Halfway House, they said they were too busy. I turned around and left. No one woke me up at that time. I went back to my area, and that's when I got assaulted. And 3 days after that, I spent in the hospital. But I told them, can you get into the Halfway House, because somebody is about to get hurt. Not them, me. I was the one that was getting hurt, no one else. And I guess they misunderstood that I said that I was going to hurt someone or something like that. But it wasn't that, it was me getting hurt. And I asked them, I told them somebody's about to get hurt. I had already been hurt, but I couldn't tell them that. I just couldn't. It would have been snitching. And I was in front of some other inmates. And I'd already been hurt. The only thing I was trying to do was get home so I could get back to my business. Because I have a small maintenance business that I got. I was spending 23 years in prison. I was semi-successful. I got out and had my own business.
And then you got violated for using alcohol or something, didn't you? That's the reason that you're back in?
Yes, sir.
That's why you're back in?
I was for using alcohol, and I went to AA every week that I was in prison. I got a certificate. I got a sponsor. And the thought of alcohol sickens me now because of this experience that I've been through. I could never drink again. I just want to do the right thing. I just want to get out of here.
Mr. Gaynor, let me get you to hold one moment. Let me see if other board members might have some questions for you at this time. The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis has questions, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Wait 1 second. Can you hear me, Mr. Gaynor?
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question, and I ask this with respect, but in the continuation sheet from DOC on your discipline, there's a remark here that says this is the fourth time in the last 2 months that inmate Gaynor 099565 has come to Coronado programs, being upset and making threats towards the CO3s. So was there more than one occasion on which you had had words with the CO3s, because the only form I have here is making reference to the allegation in September, yet in the continuation sheet there's reference to four times in the last 2 months. So were there other incidents in July and August leading up to September?
Yes, sir. I have been up there two or three times in order to get a halfway house because I needed a placement. And I asked them, could you please get me a halfway house or could you do some work or at least can I sign my conditions? No one had done anything in almost 3 months. Although it was frustrating, I never made any threats to anyone, because if I had, they would have rolled me up. I never made any threats. The only thing I did on that yard, the government replaced me as a mentor on that yard. I had sang Christmas carols in the visitation room for families that came in. I had been in the band on the scene. I had sang in concerts on that yard. I had was a mentor on the yard. I've never been in trouble, I've never been written up, and I never threatened anyone, but I did ask before, could you give me a halfway house, or was anything being done as far as my release, because it was taking a really long time, and my family had been down to central office, and when they left central office, time come, an hour after my family left central office is when I finally signed some release conditions, and they were the wrong release conditions. And I included that as well in my packet to this board.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to ask a quick question of our board chairman. Mr. Board Chairman, I know we don't have a community corrections officer in the room, but from your experience and institutional wisdom, how long does it usually take to get someone from the board voting them to home arrest to back out in the street, so to speak?
It really varies. It depends upon what's available. As Mr. Gaynor has said, apparently whatever went wrong, whether it was the CO3 or whether it was Mr. Gaynor, they did not receive a reply until October. He did get admitted to a halfway house in October. Now, when that application was made, we just don't know. That's one of the problems that we have, that we don't know when the application was made. But he did not get admitted until October, and that's after these events had taken place, specifically the one in September. That's the one that we really, that I'm really concerned about.
Yes, sir.
At the moment. Excuse me, I didn't mean to go on, but it varies, sir.
No. I'm trying to be respectful to Mr. Gaynor and get a feel for the usual amount of time it takes to make that transition. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And if I can add something, sir, I can.
Go ahead, sir. This is your hearing.
There was an inmate on this yard, inmate Paxton, that this board probably remembers. It took him 30 days to get him out of prison. It usually takes 5 to 15 days. At the longest, it takes 30 days, not 3 months.
No, it depends upon, sir. It depends upon whether they can find a residence for you where you are. I don't mean you personally when I say you. I mean where an inmate will be accepted. And sometimes it takes longer because they have to go out, they have to investigate, they have to make sure that you have your 3 months, your 2 months financial responsibilities. There are a number of things that they have to go through before they can make that determination whether and where you would be released and who your parole officer would be.
I can tell you this, sir. I was accepted by the halfway house on the same day. It was a telephone interview that accepted me, but that was when I was moved to Tucson. I was accepted the same day. And that's 10-2, October the 2nd, and I included that paperwork in my letter to this board.
Okay, so initially, let me just make sure that I understand, and I think I do. So initially, but this incident that we're talking about that took place in September, that was in Winslow. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when was you moved to Tucson?
I was moved to Tucson at the end of September. I got out of the hospital because I needed to be on the medical guard for observation because of my seizures. I took seizure medication at morning and in the afternoon. I've never had a seizure before. But to answer the question, I was moved to Redstone to a medical facility yard, and that's when I was given a halfway house the same day. That same day, I got it on a Friday. I got the halfway house on a Monday. Once the CO3 came to work.
Okay. Now, board members, I'm kind of disappointed, kind of at a loss, because we don't have any contact information for a parole officer that I will look at. I don't see any. I haven't seen any, you know. I mean, I know we know who issued the warrant, but, you know, usually we have some information from specifically or with a phone number or something for a CO3 or someone to contact, and we don't have anything.
All we have is James Berg on there.
Yeah, on the warrant. Any questions for Mr. Gaines at this time, Mr. Neal, sir, Honorable Mr. Neal?
No, sir.
Okay, now, Mr. Gaines, who's the advocate here for Mr. Gaines today? Okay, please come forward, ma'am. And please state your name for the record.
My name is Angelina Vasco.
And what do you want to tell the board today, ma'am?
He is right. The handling of his release file has been mishandled from day one. And I'm not one to throw anybody under the bus, except for the fact that I have been down here twice. And like he did state, you know, you did release him on July 25th. And we waited and we waited to hear from somebody. We didn't hear anybody. I was calling. He was calling me. I told him I hadn't heard anything, so he told me to come down here. So I leave work, get off work, and luckily, you know, I have 19 years with FedEx, so, you know, if I ask for a day off, I normally will get it. And they just apologized, said that the file had not moved from this office. I don't know what that means.
Mike, my niece. He's what?
He works here.
You mean for the Department of Corrections or for the Board of Clemency? I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
No, please go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I just came down here because, you know.
Well, it was a.
Have to be the Department of Corrections.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be from the Board of Executive Clemency. And so, what did he say now? You said that he said something
about... He said that the file had not moved from here. I guess it has to go to the prison, then he has to sign some paperwork, then it comes back here. I mean, it's just back and forth, but it hadn't moved until I got here and brought, you know, asked about it.
And when did you get here to ask about it, ma'am?
I asked about it on August 15th. I took the day off from work. And that wasn't just the first time.
And you're here in Phoenix, I mean physically.
Yes, sir.
And, okay. And so did you speak to anyone at Winslow or at Tucson? I mean, any CO3s?
I did speak to his CO3, Williams, and her words to me were, do not delay anything. Stay on top of everything so his process can go smoothly and he can get out. When I was here on July 25th, you, Mr. Wright, told a family prior to us, Mr. Gaynor's hearing, that it could take 5 to 15 days because he was accepted at a halfway house. When I asked you, the board said 30 days, give or take, okay? And because I do work for a Fortune 500 company, I believe in protocol, and again, it seems like it just depends on who, what day things are working, and, you know, people, vacations. I don't know. I just know that, and I'm not just because I love him and I'm here on his behalf, because I have done the footwork and have been told over and over not, I would make phone calls, no one returned my phone call, then I'd call. I mean, I have kept my cool, and I'm not one to be very patient.
Let me just ask this, because I've forgotten. What is your relationship to Mr. Gaynor?
We are very good friends.
You're good friends, okay. And so, do you have a copy of the letter, or do we have a copy of the letter from Rebon Assistance? You said he's been admitted to Rebon.
Yes, sir. I did not bring the receipt, but I did speak with Lewis on December 5th, and just prior to when I was sitting out in the lobby, and they did say that he does still have, space is still available.
And I heard Mr. Gaynor say that a deposit had been made at Rebon.
Yes, sir.
So you made that deposit on his behalf?
Yes, sir. Since he called me on December 2nd, I was there at about 5 o'clock to make that payment.
And do you know, remember who you was talking, you said you was talking to somebody at Rebon just before coming in here?
Yes, sir.
Do you have that phone number?
Yes, I do.
And do you remember who you were speaking with?
I spoke with Lewis.
Lewis, okay. Wait one moment. Well, before I call back, I want to check something here at our place. Yes, ma'am. We are now having the rescission hearing for Mr. Gaynor. Did we have any other paperwork on him aside from what's already been given to the board in his package? Okay, thank you.
I found a letter from Rebon Assistance in the packet.
Yeah, I thought I saw one. You didn't see one? Did you see one?
She didn't receive anything in the last couple of days. Have we ever received anything from a CO3 or anyone? Usually we get something kind of at a loss here for lack of paperwork. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. When did that be?
October 2nd is the date of the letter
for this year.
From Rebon. Yeah, it was in with one of the
And he was accepted based on what you're reading, sir.
Yeah.
I am not sure. I'm trying to make a determination. Neil found that, I guess I have it too here, found that he was admitted to Rebon, but we don't, but when we set up this hearing, none of the CO3s or no one else indicated that they wanted to participate on regarding his hearing, to the best of your knowledge. Okay, thank you.
The board is totally set from the prime question, but we don't.
But you find me up good.
We say, okay, we'll recommend it for
you. Let me see what you process. Let me see what you have, so from Rebon. We probably have it.
I feel like I saw it because I was looking for two.
There's three different
kind of wedged
letters, and when they get a bunch of stuff, they just staple them together, so we don't obviously.
I also brought his medical papers.
Yeah, but we're not going to do the medical today, we just want to... My distinguished colleague always reminds me there's something called time management. You being a Fortune 500 company, you know how important time management is.
Good afternoon, Reborn Assistance, Mr. Lewis.
Yes, Lewis, this is C.T. Wright at the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We are holding a hearing for Mr. Gaynor this afternoon and Daryl Gaynor. And it's our understanding that you have accepted him and that you've accepted a down payment or whatever you want to call it for his being admitted to Reborn Assistance. Is that correct, sir?
Let me look up the information and I'll be able to tell you.
Okay, sir. Personal name is Darryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L. Last name is Gaynor, G-A-I-N-E-R.
What is his DOC number?
099565.
Yes, I have accepted this letter ready for him.
And has he made a payment already to you? I use the word payment. Has any money been provided to you as of this moment?
I will double check.
Thank you, sir.
From October 2nd.
Okay, and that's enough to get him started. If, what I'm asking, if he is released, will we still have a bed for him, and would he be able to reside there at Reborn, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and how long will that last? I mean, because you know it takes a while for him to process sometimes. The people down in Tucson, they would have to process him to get him out. So how long would, I mean, how long would you be able to hold that bed, sir?
The worst case scenario is that he'd go on a couch for a few nights if I happen to not have a bed.
Okay, sir. Okay. Well, thank you so very much, and we certainly appreciate you sharing that information with the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Ma'am, I'm going to ask if you would just have a seat for a moment. You can sit right up here if you want to. You don't have to go way back there.
Can I ask?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Are you going on to another action here, sir? Or?
Well, I was going to bring it to a close, but you have questions.
Just a quick question, ma'am, and that is, and I don't want to enable anyone. I just, it's the way I'm taking the information right now. How long have you known Mr. Gaynor?
For 15 years.
Okay, it's a long time. He sounds very passionate and frustrated right now. I'm not going with anger or assault of the way he's discussing with us. Do you have a strong feeling about his demeanor? Because the impression I'm getting is that this has been very, very, very frustrating for him. And he may be being very assertive with the DOC staff and like trying to move things along. And I'm just trying to get a feel. I'll ask him directly. I don't mean to go around them. Uh-huh. But have you known him to communicate with his passion routinely, or?
To be honest, it was frustrating because, you know, he was asking me to make phone calls, and when I would speak with him, you know, the answer, I was telling him, it's either I was being put to voicemail, and, you know, it's frustrating for me, and it was frustrating for him, too, but now we're both better because we did get the date to see you, the parole board. Now he's calm after having those several seizures. He knows that he has to keep his stress level down.
I'm not even being judgmental. If I was in his position and I could imagine being frustrated. I've been in other kinds of positions, certainly not inside the correction system, where, you know, my voice is probably louder and I'm being more emphatic and assertive because I feel like, you know, I'm being bullied or run around, you know, given the runaround. So that's all I'm asking. I'm trying to get a whole picture of this. I'm not really trying to hurt her. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, okay. Well, let me just say this. Yeah, y'all really, well, he really, when I say he, I mean Mr. Dana, really put the board in a precarious situation because we do have the request for warrant and the warrant itself, you know, and it does state that he did not, that his behavior towards this parole officer, this CO3, I'm sorry, was inappropriate. And I'm trying to, that really puts the board in a precarious situation because if he was threatening or assumed to be threatening a CO3, and this was also, they had a disciplinary hearing with a different officer, and Mr. Gaynor was found guilty of threatening or / intimidation of staff based on disciplinary report, and they have a number of staff testimony and investigation reports. And I'm just trying to see how we could, you know, that really puts us in a precarious situation as a board, you know, because I don't know, we don't know what happened. The only thing we have is this paperwork that we have in our office. I just, as you heard, I just called down the hall and they don't have anything else. They've not received anything else from Tucson or Winslow. Yet we have this information here, which really put us in a let me ask board members if they find something else, because I know it's here. The results,
I understand what you're saying.
The results. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Right.
But if you look at his file, what's called the disciplinary infractions, there is no disciplinary action regarding him ever threatening or intimidating anybody in the 23 years he was there. I'm only high school educated, but I kept reading his inmate data information to try to, you know, to understand a little bit. So for them to say that he was threatening or intimidating them, that's not him.
But as my honorable colleague indicated, you know, sometimes when it's just human nature, when we get upset or things not going our way, we just get, we become, you know, proactive and, you know, that does happen. I think I've done it a few times at airports and so forth when they start, you know, feel that I'm not being treated fair, and if they were to push the envelope, they may not let me get on the plane. I guess I'm saying, you know, that he really...
But in his defense, when I would call down there to speak to CO3, they're either gone for the day, they called out sick, they were up here training. I mean, it was always, you know, one thing after another. And it just seemed like we just kept getting pushed back further and further, and it became 30, and now it became almost 60 days, and now it's a year he's been incarcerated.
Okay. And I do take note, you know, I'm just reading Ames, this was all the way back in 95, he was fighting back in 95, and he showed some respect in 97, all that was years ago. I'm trying to get close up to more recent, I guess his last discipline ticket would have been in 13, and it was dismissed, and that was disobeyed something there, and then violating grooming was in 13. Violation of department was in 12, and then just before then was 9. Just trying to see the last time, the last fight he had, as I can see, was in 1999. That's the last fight that we have listed. He was fighting in 1999. And the last major he had was in 09. And that was a violation of department, I guess, policy or something. It's just a violation of department. That was a major. But I don't see anything else serious since since then, so this is just one of, I just wish we had more information. I just wish the that we had gotten more information from the department. They issued the warrant, but no follow up. Okay, well, you can have a seat, ma'am. I'm sorry, let me see if other board members may have a question. Why you would
all say, sir?
They may have some more questions.
Board Chairman, regardless how the board votes today in the interest of public safety, I do find your testimony very credible. So thank you for appearing with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nothing?
Okay, Mr. Dana, we are coming towards the end of your hearing, sir, but this is your hearing, and we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board, and following your statement to the board will go into discussion and make its determination whether to grant you your rescission or not to. And if we do not, that means that you would not be admitted to home arrest. If the board grants it, then you would be considered for, or you would be granted home arrest. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir?
Yes, sir. I guess the reason why it sounds like I'm really frustrated because I'm shouting in the phone, because I believe that you had trouble hearing me before, but I'm not a violent person. Matter of fact, I teach yoga and I meditate. And I do understand that I'm a Christian, most of all. I haven't had a fight since 1999, and that was just protecting myself. I'm nonviolent. I don't believe in violence whatsoever. And again, I thank this board for reinstating me in July. And I just ask that this board reinstate me so that I can get the proper medical care that I believe I need, because having a seizure that I've never had before kind of scares me. And I just want this board to know that if they decide, if this board decides to reinstate me to home arrest, you won't see me again. You won't see me again until after my ankle monitor comes off and I come in front of the board. Because this has been an awful experience, because there's 2.2 million people incarcerated, and over half of them are between the ages of 18 and 35. I'm 57 years old. I just don't belong here. And there's over, the population is going up 1,000%, and there's so many assaults and young men fighting. It's a mess. And I just want to get somewhere where I can get back to my business and get back to my family and just do the right thing and get on with my life. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Well, before the board goes into discussion, would you remind the board what type of small business that you that you have, sir, or that you will have, sir?
I have a cleaning business. When I got out of prison, I found it hard to get a job. So I went door to door. I put on a show and tie and went door to door to strip malls. And I talked to a lot of managers and a lot of business owners, and they trusted me. And after about 3 months, I started getting contracts, and I charged between $1 and $3 per square feet, and all I do is vacuum, I clean the bathrooms, I dust, I mop, and I have the keys and the alarm codes to these buildings. These people trust me, and I'm in charge of thousands of dollars worth of electronic equipment, and it just makes me feel whole again. It makes me feel like people trust me, and I can do things, and I can be successful. So it's a small cleaning business. I've lost an account since I've been here, but I know I can get that back. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. Board members, the board will now go into discussion, and following the discussion, the board will vote. It may sound like we're talking to you or to your advocate who's in the room, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves and at this time. The board is now in discussion. Ask everybody to remain quiet. This is a very interesting situation. I really respect, and I want this to go on record, I do respect the warrant that was issued by Winslow, by the CO3s there. Unfortunately, there's no follow-up except the warrant itself, and there's no correction officer or CO3 in the room at this time, and we don't, as far as our office can tell, there's no paperwork that they submitted otherwise, but they did submit the warrant. We have to put that on record. The warrant is issued, and the warrant number that is issued is 2017W3605. Is the warrant that was issued by the people down in Winslow. However, as has been noted at this point, that Mr. Gaynor has been admitted to Reborn Assistance Association in Phoenix, and the board, I believe we were still on record when we spoke to Mr. Lewis, Mr. Kawanis, I think we were still on record. He acknowledged that he had been admitted, and we do have a letter, thanks to my colleague, Mr. Neal. He had a copy of it, dated October the 2nd, 2017, that he had been admitted, and that his deposit had been made, and that there were provisions been made for him. And I guess we're really between a rock and a hard place, and I'm not going to make a final determination yet, but I want to listen to other board members, I guess. I'm kind of leaning towards not a final decision, leaning towards granting him, returning him to home arrest so that so he can go to Reborn. But I would like to listen to other board members before we go any further. Honorable Mr. Kawanis, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. I am of a similar mindset, and it, in other matters, this has come up more than once today, but it's not for the lack of respect for the Department of Corrections and their need for good order and discipline. It's very possible that Mr. Gaynor may be getting, was getting exceedingly frustrated going through this, I guess we could say dealing with the bureaucracy of ADC and being returned to home arrest status, and that's certainly not an excuse to be assaultive or threatening, but based on all of the bureaucratic problems surrounding this case, I'm inclined to at least understand that there may have been some frustration, that Mr. Gaynor seems to be more centered now, and maybe we can continue the process of monitoring a safe transition back to the community.
Thank you. Honorable Mr. Mill.
Well, during all the discussion and everything with Mr. Gaynor, when he was talking about what happened, trying to explain his side of the case, he was obviously getting heated up over it, which, you know, is a normal thing. And he was kind of loud, but I also noticed that when he was, especially right there at the end when he gave his final statement, the volume was the same. And dawned on me, we asked him right up front to speak up because we couldn't hear him. So that may be exaggerated some, but I'm in full agreement with the Honorable Mr. Honest about, you know, life causes people to get frustrated in a prison situation like that. The dynamics are a lot different than they are outside. I think that if the Department of Corrections was really intent on having a decision granted, I would have expected at least something in writing from them, if not one or two of the CO3s involved to be here to testify. So I'm inclined to return to home arrest.
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Board Chairman, I'd like to follow up with that because you did also get a piece in there that I didn't say, which is I would have expected at least some sort of testimony or follow-up from the DOC staff. Again, I don't mean to be critical of them. They have a tough job, but we can only make a decision based on what's in front of us, and I guess I just agree with my colleagues.
Yes,
in its totality.
The bureaucratic process is what has happened to Mr. Gaynor for several months, and it may have just happened to the Department of Corrections.
I guess what I'm trying to say, to be honest, is I've had some frustrated moments in this world that if I was inside the correction system, I would probably get violated. But out here, it's just an angry guy asserting himself. Right. And I'm not talking about fights or assaults, but loud voices and frustration. So, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Give me one moment. Inmate was admitted to Reborn as confirmed by Mr. Lewis at Reborn, by Mr. Lewis at Reborn by telephone to the board, telephone conversation with the board, and the and that all other conditions to remain the same, with modified conditions to be that he would return to the Board of Executive Clemency if he is engaged in assaultive activity, violent or threats or violence of any sort. That would be my motion.
Second.
Okay. Agreed.
Okay, so. Okay, sir, by unanimous consent of the board, sir, you have been, or you will be back on home arrest. You have to get all this cleared now with the with your CO3 down there in Tucson. And please, if they don't move fast enough, get back to your friend and let her work on it, and don't get into any type of engagement in any argument or any fight with any of the CO3s or others down there, sir, because if you do, you're going to be right back before this board, and whether you're right or wrong the next time, I'm just going to be honest with you. The board, as one board member, let me put it that way, I won't look at it with favor, so we're giving you this opportunity, and we wish you the best. And do you have any questions, sir?
No, sir, but I thank you, and no matter how long it takes this time, I won't say anything. I know the process taking work however long it takes, and I thank this board for reinstating me back to home wrestling. I won't let you down, I won't let myself down for my family.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir. Good luck, and your hearing is over. And thank you, ma'am, for appearing today again.